Hi, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Horse Live. I'm your host, Haley Kerstetter, digital editor at thehorse.com. Managing skin problems in horses can be challenging, especially in warmer months when allergies and bugs abound. But what can horse owners do to address problems ranging from hives to scratches? Tonight, we will discuss what you need to know when managing skin issues in your horse to keep him comfortable through the spring and summer months. This event is sponsored by Kinetic Vet. To answer your questions, we are joined by two expert panelists, Dr. Rosanna Marcella from the University of Florida and Dr. Susan White from the University of Georgia. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Dr. Marcella, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes. I am a board certified dermatologist. I am a full professor at the University of Florida, and I'm a horse addict. That's full disclosure. So I have a keen interest in equine dermatology. I love horses. I have a few of my own, and I'm happy to be here tonight.
Awesome. We're excited to have you. And Dr. White, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, I'm a professor emeritus from the University of Georgia's College of Veterinary Medicine. I have spent most of my career in the Southeast. And although I'm not a dermatologist, I'm a board certified internist. Way back when, dermatology was part of ACVIM. And because of the location, I have over the years worked with a lot of horses with skin problems and have had an interest in it. I'm also a lifelong horse addict. I currently have one horse down from many, trying to control my horse accumulation in these later years. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy that Kinetic Vet is sponsoring this event.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And before we begin answering questions, I want to remind everyone of our Ask the Horse Live format. We're starting with questions submitted during registration, but if you're listening live and would like to submit a question, please do so via the chat window. We'll do our best to get to as many of your questions as possible. If you're listening to the podcast recording of this event and would like to join us live in the future, please visit thehorse.com/askthehorselive to register for notifications. And with that, we're going to jump in with our questions. So our first question is for you, Dr. Marcella, from Carolyn in Ontario, who asks how she can prevent and treat rain rot on a horse that lives outside 24/7 with access to shelter.
Yes. So rain rot is a bacterial skin infection that is precipitated by heavy rain, chronic moisture, and in many times insect bites. So this bacteria is not really able to establish an infection if the skin is healthy, but once it is moist or is traumatized by insect bites or itching, or the animal is immunocompromised, you have an infection. So my suggestion is obviously keeping the skin dry is the first thing to do. For horses that turn out all the time, my suggestion is to make sure that that horse is on a regular fly control schedule, that at least once a day get some effective repellent, and we can talk more about what makes an effective repellent. I would encourage the horse to have some access to hay, at least in the evening hours in front of a fan, so that hopefully they can stay protected and away from the nocium bites and have some time to stay dry. And once a week to use a chlorhexidine spray or shampoo to minimize the colonization of bacteria on the skin. So I think these are basic, simple management things that hopefully can be accomplished. So dry as much as possible, prevent insect bites as much as possible, and then once a week, some antimicrobial treatment.
Awesome. Thank you. Dr. White, Jamie in Michigan wants to know if there is an autoimmune reason a horse might have chronic scratches.
Yes, there are two immune-mediated reasons that chronic scratches or chronic dermatitis of the coronary band and plantar area of the fetlock may occur. A true autoimmune disease, pemphigus foliaceus, can be regional on a horse. And one of the first cases that I ever confirmed as pemphigus was in fact a horse that presented with a 2-year history of chronic pasturine dermatitis. However, it is very, very rare to be localized in just that area. Another immune-mediated disease that can occur is commonly called solar aggravated dermatitis. It's a vasculitis that occurs when non-pigmented areas of the horse's limbs are exposed to solar radiation. Typically, if you look at information that you might find on the internet or in magazines such as The Horse, they show lesions in the cannon region of horses with high stockings. However, you can find small white areas on the pasturine area of the horse that may be aggravated by solar radiation. Typically, these are more lateral or medial than on the direct plantar part of the pasturine, as that's where they are exposed to solar radiation. Also, although I see that fairly frequently, I think the first thing that you have to do is consider other reasons for pasturine dermatitis. And we may have a constant theme throughout this presentation about how wet skin, the keratin layer gets macerated, and then it's much more susceptible to organisms, be they bacterial or insects or mites, that then can, because of the damage to the surface of the skin, establish themselves.
And along those same lines, Dr. White, Andrea in Tennessee asks if there are management tactics she can use to prevent and treat scratches in a horse with a history of chronic scratches. So you've touched on a few, but can you expand on those a little bit more?
Yes. Most of the time, horses with chronic scratches have had exposure to a lot of wet conditions or muddy conditions that the skin never gets to be completely dry and is constantly exposed to dirt, sand, wet grass that may be irritating. The most important thing is to keep the area clean, and to wash the area, you want to use a non-irritating shampoo or scrub, 2% chlorhexidine. If you use that, is, in my opinion, the maximum concentration that won't cause irritation. But if the horse has really thick scabs that have been there for a long time, you can't remove them with one washing episode. You need to sort of work at it over time. And then the most important thing is to keep the area dry. Oftentimes, these horses with chronic scratches can have infections of various organisms, and if they're resistant to washing and drying and perhaps wrapping in a dry wrap to protect them from the environment, you may need your veterinarian to take a biopsy of the area to look for signs of infection and whether or not antimicrobials will be needed. Once you have some control of the area as far as the skin health, then the use of barrier creams may be advantageous. And there's a variety of them that have been and can be used for many years. People used zinc oxide, just straight baby diaper rash, or perhaps a formula made by their veterinarian that had an antimicrobial and a steroid mixed in with the zinc oxide. There's products mostly used in small animals, such as Animex, which are a proprietary mix of steroids, antibiotics, and in a mineral oil base. And one more recent one that has been very successful in my hands is Zaracil, which is a non-antibiotic, non-steroid silica nanoparticle cream that has been very successful in helping to clear pasture and dermatitis, as well as prevent it from coming back.
Awesome. Dr. Marcella, Charlene in Ontario says that her horse rubs his tail hair off every spring. Can you tell us why this might happen?
Yes, I think I have a good idea. So the most likely reason for this is inside by hypersensitivity, very common. Noceums are the most common insects responsible for that. Other insects can do it too. But noceum, also known as culicoides, as a technical term, are a frequent cause of insect allergy, insect bite hypersensitivity. And so many horses become allergic and they show quite intense itching, typically localized to the rump and tail-based area, and as well as many of them, the neck and the chest area. So that is by far the most common allergy that we see in horses. And it is critical for these horses to be treated with effective fly repellents. And so simply, I would like to say there are many products out there and some confusion. Many owners think that they are using an effective fly repellent, but they may not be because some of the products actually misrepresent themselves. And so I urge owners to look at the label of the fly sprays that they're using. So simply said, for anything to be a repellent, you need to have something besides pyrethrin. Pyrethrin is an insecticide, not a repellent. So it means it kills the insect when you spray on it, but it will not prevent the bite. So if you have an allergic horse, you need permethrin. And the permethrin needs to be a certain percentage. So when you purchase the next bottle, it needs to be at least 0.5, possibly 1% permethrin in order to really be a repellent. Or so you can get the concentrated permethrin, dilute it down, or use a synthetic derivative. So synthetic derivative are cismethrin. Commercial products, just to make a name so people have some guidance, Tritec or Endure are effective products, but if you are in the Southeast United States where there's a lot of humidity and bugs, I end up using it more frequently than what is recommended. So that is the quote chemical route. The alternative is to go the botanical route. And neem oil is an effective repellent for mosquitoes and insects. And so there are products that contain that. But the long story short is that this insect allergic horses need to wear a repellent all the time, particularly when the bugs are very active. And so that becomes a management issue.
Thank you. Dr. White, Stephanie in Florida says whenever she gets a hard soaking rain, the next day her horse breaks out in hives. Several days later, these dry out and turn into little scabs with hair that comes loose when she's grooming her horse. She doesn't think it's rain rot. Could it be insect bites? They don't really seem to bother her horse, but is there something she could do to lessen their occurrence?
We've spoken a bit about constant wetting of the skin before, and this is another situation where the hard soaking rain, where the hair gets totally wet, the skin is soaked, and it stays that way for a while. Here again, what you're doing with all that moisture is that the skin macerates, the keratin layer on top is weakened, and then if there's allergens of any kind in the environment, they can easily penetrate the skin and cause reactions. But I would be suspicious in Florida if the horse wasn't reacting to insect bites that were attracted to the horse because they're wet, you know, maybe with a wet horse and this surface dirt that may be on the hair is more attractive to insects. And also, I would not rule out rain rot. The idea that I don't know if the hives are large with flat tops or if they're little pinpoint ones, because if they're large with flat tops, it's probably it could be insect bites, but it also could be allergens on the skin. So I think that you would need to be able to do a little sleuthing, stand out there with your horse if you can in the barn or the pasture to observe whether or not insects are bothering the horse. And then anything that you can do to keep the horse dry. You may want to consider some of the skin supplements that contain omega-3 fatty acids to help with the integrity of the skin. Just as an aside, I have a 27-year-old horse that is very subject to rain rot from a wet saddle pad to being out in the rain. And he has actually done well with minimal shampoos, but with a skin and allergy supplement. And it's just one thing that you might consider. I would like to say, before we get too far into this, that really, if you keep a photographic record and a written record of your problem and then make a strategic appointment with your veterinarian, you may more quickly get to the bottom of the horse's problem, especially if it's a chronic one. Rain, I don't know if you're in Florida, if you're more north, but lightweight rain sheets, if you can get them on in time to keep the horse dry, would help as well.
Awesome. Thank you. And Dr. White, we have a question from our live audience. This is from Rachel. She says that her horse has been itchy since she was 1 day old. She is now 9, and she has had a partial but still unsatisfactory response to dexamethasone, Benadryl, hydroxyzine, allergen injections. She is itchy all over, but what bothers her the most is that she's scratching out all of her tail hairs. Do you have any other suggestions for her?
I think that this horse is probably one that we call atopic, where the animal has the animal's own immune profile is such that it is geared to develop allergies to things in the environment that don't bother more what we would consider normal animals. And this is a management problem. You know, you need to treat that horse like it has heaves, just because people are used to our asthma. People are used to managing the environment if horses have respiratory allergies, but very often skin and respiratory come together in the immune profile. So by managing them like they're an asthmatic horse may help with the control of the skin manifestations. This horse should probably be fed simple feeds. I recommended a supplement in the last question, and then I'm going to tell you that, you know, I'm not a fan of 8, 9, 10 supplements because you really rarely know what the effect they have on the horse all added together. I would suggest an appointment with a veterinary dermatologist and perhaps testing for allergens and considering allergen-specific immune therapy for that horse. One thing we do know that if you have a highly allergic horse, particularly those with A to B, that if you do not manage the environment and the horse, all the drugs in the world are not going to solve your problems. It's a balancing act. And so if you're in an area where we're moving into summer, remember that heat, humidity, and solar radiation make the sensation of itch more severe. And so shade, fans, cool water hosing, perhaps gentle once a week shampoos with a 1% hydrocortisone leave-on rinse. But I think you would best be served with a session with a veterinarian interested in equine dermatology that can go over your history and make a coordinated plan for controlling the pruritus of that horse.
Dr. Marcella, Cindy in Virginia asks how she can determine when to use antifungal versus antibacterial treatments. And she would also like to know if chlorhexidine is safe to use to wash affected areas on her horse's skin.
Yes. I'll start by saying that true fungal infections in horses are extremely rare. Many times people think that the horses have a fungal infection, but in reality it's a bacterial infection. So these are all lesions of pyoderma that they're frequently mistaken as fungal infection. So yes, chlorhexidine is a great option. By the way, will help with either fungal or bacterial infection. Knowing that 99% of the cases that we see are bacterial in origin. So 2% chlorhexidine for most animals is okay. Here and there are some animals that become sensitized to chlorhexidine just like people. And so I always ask people to pay attention whether the animal is more inflamed or sensitized after the bath, but many of them will tolerate it well. So I think it's a good thing to do in allergic animals that are prone to an overgrowth of staphylococcus to have some routine management with some antimicrobial treatment. So my answer is yes, use your chlorhexidine, and unless your horse has an issue with it, I encourage you to do it. Anytime you see scabs, crusts, raised lesions, chlorhexidine is a good thing to do.
Awesome. Thank you. Dr. White, Lynn in Virginia says she is treating her horse with hives on his neck with topical antifungals. Is this the correct treatment plan? And if not, what should she do instead?
Well, you just heard Dr. Marcella tell us that true fungal infection is rare. I would think that hives on the neck of a horse is even more rarely a fungal problem. I would be interested in what antifungal product she's using. There's a whole variety of products that can be purchased over the counter that, as Dr. Marcello mentioned, often misrepresent themselves. And it may be that if she's using some type of insecticide or insect repellent on the horse, that it can develop an allergic reaction to the product, especially ones in hot, humid areas that are oil-based, and then they can get subsequent reactions, which may include hives. She may want to consider, you know, what is the origin of the hives? And here again, you're going to, and we're coming into summer, insect bite hypersensitivity is number one on all the lists. And so management for keeping the horse clean, cool, shade, fans, all to decrease insect exposure. And then here again, if she's working with a veterinarian, she may want to consider using antihistamines such as cetirizine to minimize the hives if they are a recurring problem. If you do have an appointment with your veterinarian, you would want to be sure and include everything that is used on the horse, from blankets to medication to common use brushes, et cetera, to try and determine the reason for the hives. But antifungal products alone are probably not going to be effective.
Dr. Marcella, we have another question from our live audience. This one is from Callie, and she asks how you would categorize a springtime problem that's usually on her horse's hind leg cannon bones. She calls it scurf, and when she runs her hands down the hair, some of it will come off from the root. She said this happens every year and usually clears with chlorhexidine and Equiderma, but this year a drying agent seems to work better.
Yes. So it sounds like the horse has an allergic condition complicated by secondary staph infection. So anytime you see scabs, scaling, dandruff, and sometimes, like the previous case, it could even be mistaken as hives if the hair sticks out and stands up, but all these cases are bacterial infections. So Staphylococcus is on the skin and it proliferates anytime there is inflammation, which happens in allergic horses. So the management of these cases is dealing with the secondary infection as well as addressing the underlying cause. So in this case, it sounds like the underlying cause is an allergic disease, which most likely has an insect component. And the secondary part is the staph infection. So for the staph infection, antimicrobial therapy like chlorhexidine is definitely the way to go. And then management of the underlying cause. So for the insect component, Equiderma is a repellent for insects, but it lasts, well, depends who you read, but I would say 8 to 12 hours. And so clinically speaking, it means that you have to reapply this frequently, right? And so it makes it a management challenge. That's why sometimes people go from botanical to chemical to have a more long-lasting repellent activity. But anytime, you know, people see this scabby lesions, flakes, falling hair, that's all a bacterial infection. So chlorhexidine is a way to address the secondary infection for sure.
Dr. White, speaking of chlorhexidine, Sandra from our live audience would like to know what a good alternative to it would be for a horse that is sensitive to it.
You could probably use a dilute betadine scrub. The problem with betadine or iodine products is that they are very drying, and that, you know, just like in people, there's some people that react to iodine, there's some horses that act iodine. One of the things I've already mentioned this once, and Dr. Marcella, please disagree with me if you think it is appropriate, but I don't like to use shampoos that have more than 2% chlorhexidine in them. Rather than 4% or higher, that's typically used in surgery scrub rooms to prepare for doing surgery. The other thing, at least as far as the pasture and dermatitis, so often I've had owners that are vigorously scrubbing the lesions, and the vigor at which they're attacking lesions on the horse are helping to contribute to skin irritation. There are non-detergent shampoos, 2% chlorhexidine. Typically, you put them on the horse, you create the lather, you let it sit there for 5 to 10 minutes before you rinse it off. That don't cause the reactions that I've seen with 4% concentration and higher. The other thing is, oftentimes it's just the act of washing and rinsing. Remember during the pandemic, everybody was to wash their hands for 20 seconds. And it was the physical act of washing and rinsing and washing the organisms off of your hands that did the most good. And you can do the same thing with pH balance, non-detergent shampoos. You may have to use them more often, but that's an alternative if you have a horse with really sensitive skin.
Dr. Marcella, Karen in Virginia asks if there are any specific recommendations for treating skin problems in gray horses.
The short answer is no. Gray horses are prone to melanoma. But if they're just true gray horses versus like a paint, they don't have propensity toward other conditions. The main thing that they are prone to is melanoma. And so there's studies that show there's some breeds, you know, when you're like past 10, 15 years of age, you're very likely to get melanoma, and that's a genetically inherited predisposition for the fact that they carry the gray gene. But other than that, they don't seem to have other issues per se. Now, some of the gray horses belong to breeds that are prone to allergies, but that's not necessarily because of their color. It's just because the breed is prone to allergies. For example, you know, many Andalusians are prone to allergic skin disease, but it's not color related. It's more like breed related. If I may just go back to the previous question just for 2 seconds, I have a couple of suggestions also for antimicrobial shampoo. I totally agree with everything that has been said before. I just want to toss a few other ingredients. For the owner that had a horse with chlorhexidine hypersensitivity, one thing to consider possibly is benzoyl peroxide, which is dry in some cases, but it kills bacteria and it's not chlorhexidine. And the other thing is silver. There are some silver shampoos on the market. Just Google it, find whatever brand you like. But silver is antimicrobial and is an alternative. And ethyl lactate is another ingredient that is antimicrobial. So anytime we have chlorhexidine hypersensitivity, which does happen, so we kind of look for alternative ingredients. I just wanted to give that suggestion.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. That's very helpful. Dr. White, Janet from our live audience asks if serum blood tests are effective for determining the cause of seasonal hives, or would her horse need a skin test?
That's a very controversial topic, and it's also a very good question. I think in the past, dermatologists would say that the skin testing is more desirable than the serum testing because you're actually testing the reaction to the allergen where the problem exists, i.e. in the skin. A serum test, it tests for circulating antibodies to various allergens. However, we do know that horses that do not have clinical signs of allergy, in other words, are normal, do have circulating antibodies to those allergens that are being tested. And then it gets down to the technique of the company that's doing the testing and where their cutoff is for concentrations. Recently, I think, and really Dr. Marcella, being the dermatologist here, needs to weigh in on this. But more recently, I think there's a number of dermatologists that say that either is acceptable when you're determining what allergens would be included in allergen-specific immune therapy. In other words, you're doing the test so that you can figure out what allergens are going to go in the quote-unquote allergy shots. Personally, I have relied on the skin testing rather than the serum testing, and perhaps Dr. Marcella should weigh in on that.
Yes, you're on target with everything you said. I can add some further explanation. So in the past, the correlation between serology testing and skin testing was poor. So when people would run both tests, they would realize that on average, the serology test had way more positives than the skin test. And so when you had a serology test, you had to be particularly careful in how you would interpret those results, because you would have so many positives and made no sense clinically. And so it was very important to correlate those results with the seasonality of the patient and what would make sense. Currently, we know why that is. Horses, dogs, cats, people can make IgE against epitopes. They're called CCD, cross-reactive carbohydrate determinants. That's a mouthful. But it basically, these are components that are present in a bunch of pollen, insects, foods, and so on. And this IgE are clinically irrelevant. Yet, they are picked up by a serology test, but they're not picked up by a skin test. So now we know why the old serology test had so many false positive results. Now we also know how to block those irrelevant IgE. So the serology today is a much better serology than what it was 10 years ago, because we know what makes this false positive. So I think that now when you look at the correlation between serology and skin test is much better. So yes, you know, historically people have relied on skin test because we didn't have to deal with all this false positives, but I think today, if somebody, for whatever reason, cannot go and see a dermatologist and get a skin test, I would say serology is much better than what it used to be. And then if the results are interpreted in light of the seasonality and what is clinically relevant for the patient, I think that you can have results that you can use for an appropriate allergen-specific immunotherapy.
Awesome. Thank you so much for adding to that. Dr. White, Karen in Florida says her horse will scratch herself to the point of bleeding during bug season. What can she do to help prevent this other than putting a fly sheet on the horse?
I think you've heard a lot of reasons or a lot of things that can be done to help manage the horse. One, you need to control the insects in the environment as much as possible. You need to apply true repellents, as Dr. Marcella has already mentioned. And this, essentially in Florida and Georgia in the summer, there is practically no time of the day when you don't have something with teeth and wings that can be affecting the horse. You need to do the very best skin care that you can, insofar as providing shade, providing fans, cool water rinses. There's a 1% hydrocortisone leave-on rinse, which allows some effect of steroid without systemically giving them to the horse. Working with your veterinarian, you may find that the use of antihistamines or in some instances Apoquil may reduce the sensation of pruritus so the horse doesn't scratch as much. And as is another reoccurring theme here, is that damaged skin is very susceptible to superficial pyoderma, staphylococcal infections. And so here the strategic washing of the horse, particular grooming of the horse. If you think of yourself, if you were outside and you were working and you got all hot and sweaty, and then you just stayed that way and you couldn't come in and take a shower, you're not very comfortable. If you have pre-existing insect bites, the pruritus is augmented. And so, sometimes just hosing is enough without the shampoo for the itch sensation. The possibility of staph suggests that appropriate bathing also be done. I think fly sheets are great. Tons of horses wear those fly sheets. You just want to be particular that you choose one that is lightweight and breathable enough that it doesn't make the horse sweat even more than it would if it was not with a sheet. This gets back to, it's a management problem, and horses that are extremely hypersensitive to insect bites are very, very difficult to manage, particularly in areas where the insect pressure, heat, and humidity are great.
Dr. Marcella, Lynn in Alberta says her quarter horse has dandruff and wants to know what she can do to treat this.
Yes. So dandruff can occur for a multitude of reasons, but statistically speaking, one of the most common reasons for a dry, scaly, dandruff-like skin is a secondary staph infection. Not all dandruff is created equal, but anything that looks like larger flakes is a bacterial infection. Anything that looks like very tiny little silvery flakes may have to do with dryness. So I'm going to start with the large ones. there is a staph infection. So staph is excruciatingly common, and the treatment for that is an antimicrobial product. Okay. If, on the opposite, the animal has very tiny little specks of dandruff, then the reason is dryness. So the treatment for dry skin is moisture, humectants, or moisturizing products. So the products that have that are, there are essential fatty acid shampoos, ceramide-based shampoos that basically have this emollients, humectants, moisturizing agents that basically trap the moisture and give back to the skin. The other option, if the animal truly only has dry skin, is supplements. Like it was mentioned before, there are essential fatty acid supplements, different brands, different names. But it's a thing to add is that we know now that fatty acids of marine source are better absorbed and a better source of essential fatty acids even for horses. So they're studied to show that horses assimilate those fatty acids better. So that would be to address a skin that is truly dry.
Dr. White, Sherry wants to know what she can do for a horse with a rash on his belly from midges.
The same thing we have been saying. First, you want the area to be clean with shampoo and thorough rinsing and drying. You want to use repellents, and you can sometimes use repellents combined with barrier creams that so that you have in a small local spot like that, you can use these barrier creams to prevent the insect from actually contacting the skin. You know, if you know that what type of insect it is, then you can target management practices to try and minimize those particular insects. If it's culicoides, midges, they're pretty much present all the time. But I would clean it. I would medicate the skin. If it was raw and weeping, I would use a barrier cream and then repellents, such as have been mentioned previously.
So a little bit on the same topic, Dr. White, Vicky in Maryland asked what she can use to treat sweet itch that is USF legal, or is there anything that is not legal with USCF that she should avoid?
The best way to know what you can and cannot use in USCF sanctioned competitions is to go to USCF.org and look at their current medication list. There, you know, any steroids, any anti-inflammatories, non-steroidal ones, any antihistamines, topical anesthetics such as praclomine, those are all drugs that are not permitted within certain concentrations that the organization has deemed acceptable or non-acceptable. It's a sticky wicket, because if you go to that website and you look at the medications that are allowed, but they have withdrawal times listed, those are not hard withdrawal times. There are plenty of stories of people that have used drugs on that permitted but withdrawal times posted list that have not permitted concentrations of those drugs in either the blood or urine when horses have been tested at competitions. combination of drugs, such as you can't ever have two non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs present in a horse at any time. There's also what I call the red list on that website, which lists not only pharmaceuticals, but herbals or nutraceuticals or non-chemical medications that have been used in horses that are not permitted under any circumstances. If you have a horse that has allergies, I think the best approach is to try and use allergen-specific immune therapy, you know, to test the horse serologically or with a skin test and have your veterinarian devise a composition of the injections as an aid to decrease the response of the horse and then combine it with the best management possible. It's not easy because many of the medications you would use to control, particularly any allergic responses, but repetitive ones, IBH or recurrent urticaria, if you stop them in time to reduce the medication in the horse so it doesn't test positive, then of course the horse may be symptomatic. I think the overall best approach in those horses is to use the ASIT, realizing that it'll take 6 months to, on the outside, a year before you see a maximum response to the injections, and that the beginning of the injections are really best started in the non-high pressure insect season, so that you're at your maintenance dose at the time that most of the skin lesions begin to appear.
Dr. Marcella, Leanne from our live audience would like to hear about treatment for sarcoids.
Okay, so sarcoids come in different forms. So I'm not sure what the question is about. So sarcoids range from the benign occult sarcoid to the varicose, all the way to the more malevolent forms. So the treatment is gauged based on the type of sarcoids. As a general guidelines, the benign occult sarcoids are best left alone, and they may stay in this kind of quiet stage for a long time. But once the sarcoid is kind of inflamed, either through a fine needle aspirate or a biopsy, then they tend to change in behavior and a degree of severity. And so the treatment is based on the location of the sarcoid and the type of sarcoid. And so it can range from, you know, aggressive surgery to cryo to local chemotherapy and things like that. So I guess the treatment is not a one treatment for all. It really is dependent on the type, the severity, and the location of the sarcoid. If I may, in 2 seconds, I would like to add to what was previously said about the allergies. I totally agree with everything that has been said. I encourage people that have horses with allergies to not just do symptomatic treatment, but to seek additional help to get to the bottom of their allergies, because allergen-specific immunotherapy at this point in time is as good as it can be for horses with chronic allergies. There are new treatments coming in for insect bite hypersensitivity, because those horses right now don't respond to immunotherapy, but hopefully soon enough we will have treatment for that. And then for horses that have insect bite hypersensitivity, I would urge owners to remember that noceums do transmit parasites like Oncocerca. So to stay on top of their regular deworming, because particularly when they see lesions on the ventral midline, it may not just be allergy, but it may also be a reflection of the parasites that are being transmitted by the insects. They're taking a blood meal, and so to make sure that those horses are dewormed regularly.
Thank you. Dr. White, Kim in Ontario wants to know how veterinarians treat an outbreak of hives in a horse with PPID, which many horse owners might know as equine Cushing's disease.
Probably I would think that your antihistamines would be a first line of treatment. When it says an outbreak of hives in a horse, I don't know if they mean a barn of horses that all have hives. I've seen those before. Or if it's a horse that has now got generalized hives. And I think the concern with the PPID is that steroids are not probably in the horse's best interest because of the dysregulation of the diurnal phase of cortisol secretion and also the danger of laminitis. And so I would think that cetirizine or hydroxyzine would be first choices for me. There are a number of antihistamines on the market, and various people have various opinions about which one is best. I think it's important to know whether it was an acute occurrence of hives that very often are due to some exposure that may never be identified, but then the hives gradually disappear over 72 hours, and that's kind of the end of it. You see that often in show horses where they may be in a strange barn, different kind of bedding, some change, and then they have a sort of a one-time occurrence of hives. The recurrent urticaria is its own question. There are multiple reasons that horses may have the occurrence of hives that are not just insects or allergens that may be inhaled or on the surface. So one, you need to know if this is an ongoing problem or not. And if it is, you may need to have the a veterinarian work with you and the horse and try other medications. Because it's difficult. Here again, if it's recurrent, you'd want to do allergen testing, be it serologic or intradermal. And if there is an indication that this is an allergy amenable to ASIT, then that would be the route to go in the long term as opposed to the short term.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. We have covered a lot, and I hope our listeners have learned as much as I have. Thank you, Drs. Marcella and White, for joining me tonight.
Thank you
for having me.
And thank you to Kinetic Vet for sponsoring this event. Finally, thank you to our audience for listening and sending in these questions. If you're listening to us after the live event as a podcast episode, please rate, review, subscribe, and recommend Ask the Horse Live to a friend. Until next time, from everyone at the horse, have a great night.